Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sun is up. It's shining on the ballpark. 50 degrees for first pitch. Sounds pretty good. We're joined by the Tiger manager. Happy opening day, AJ.
We are happy to be home. That was about an eight-week road trip from spring training to California and leads us back to downtown Detroit. So we're pumped to be here.
From your position right now, and you get a chance to see the excitement from the players, you'll certainly see the excitement from the fans on the way to the ballpark, in the ballpark. What's your level of excitement and how much does the environment play and amp things up when you finally get going?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, we love playing at home and you know, this group almost to a man saw the ballpark alive, you know, for the last September and into the playoffs. And so this is an electric environment when our people come out and support us. And it's a thrill. I mean, obviously opening day is special. The home opener is always special in Detroit. It's like a holiday in Michigan and as it should be. And I think our players thrive off of that environment. And, you know, it's kind of ironic. Last time we played the White Sox, we had a pretty big celebration after that one of those games, and now here they are coming back for our first home game this year.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a fun Friday night for a lot of fans. AJ, what did you take out of the first six games, the road trip to kick off the season?
A little bit of everything. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we got hit with some injuries coming out of spring, but our guys have responded well. You know, I feel like we should have won a game or two in LA, and then we go up and win this series in Seattle. So it was a tough way to finish it, not getting the sweep. But, you know, our guys have done a pretty good job adjusting from, you know, the schedule change to going out west. And, you know, we were playing 9 a.m. practices for 6 weeks, 1 o'clock games on the East Coast, and now we were on the West Coast. That's not an easy transition. So I thought our guys handled that fine. And a few mistakes would have changed the record on the road trip, but I also think there was a lot of good that got covered up by, you know, a few of those losses. So a little mixture of both, but I think as a manager, watching our guys prepare and watching our guys get into games and, you know, our approaches early in the games have been awesome against really good pitchers. I hope that continues so that we can sort of, you know, get the benefit of that type of preparation into the win column.
You mentioned the injuries, and obviously the biggest position that was hit was center field. And how are you managing the workload of Riley Green in center, when to play him in center, when to keep him in left, versus Ryan Kreidler?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've turned to Kreidler a lot, you know, as a defensive first player. And you know, I'm trying to give him some consistent playing time and leave Riley in left field. I gave him a DH day. I'm probably going to give Riley a game off at some point and be, you know, conservative with how much load we put on him. As are with all of our guys. Karp got a day off. All of these guys are not going to play every single game. So you know, as far as center field goes, I'm not afraid to play Riley in center. I think it's really important for everyone to know that. The trade off is really, you know, the defensive first mindset versus trying to squeeze a little bit of extra offense. Now, the better that Margot plays, the more that he plays. The better that Andy Ibañez plays, maybe he mixes in some at-bats against righties, which can push McKinstry to the outfield. So it's truly a mix and match of multiple positions. It's not just about center field, but I like the lineup with, you know, Kreidler in center and Riley on a corner and Harp on a corner, specifically with Malloy here. That's probably the general outfield I'm going to go with. Now, I say that, and I'm not going with that today. Riley's in center field today, so I'm just going day by day and sorting out, you know, what to put in, you know, or when to put in, you know, whatever strength we want.
There's a lot of moving parts. We're talking to A.J. Hinch this morning, opening day here in Detroit. A lot of talk in the offseason was Colt Keats moving to first. Now Colt Keats back over at second with the Gleyber Torres injury. When we talk to fans and have that conversation about how this lineup changes, is Torres open to playing third base or anywhere else when he's healthy?
We haven't even had the conversation. I don't really know why that would be a topic. I mean, Glaber's our second baseman when he's healthy. Colt, you know, moved to first, and Torque obviously hit his way onto this lineup. It doesn't really change a ton, but it's not even a topic that we've covered or that we've talked about, because we expect Glaber to be our second baseman.
Does that change anything if Torque hits well? Because then where does Keith play? Right? I mean, it's just a question that we wonder about. How do you get as many of these bats in the lineup as possible?
Well, you saw it. I mean, you saw it in the first trip before Gleyber got hurt. Like, all of those guys were in the lineup every day. So I don't think it really impacts who's in the lineup or how to get the bats in the lineup. I think it impacts kind of positioning. I mean, Karp plays a little more outfield. Torque has DH'd right. And played first. Colt has DH'd and played first and played second. So it hasn't deterred us from getting the bats in the lineup that we want.
Super excited about the way Torque had or hit in spring training. I'm sure you guys are as well. And early in the season, and fans want to know what's different from your perspective and how reliable is it that he can be consistent in whether it's power or just being able to continue to hit and get on base.
Yes. Yeah, so can I tell you a funny reaction? When you started that question, I'm like, fans want to know, is he going to do this every day? Like, is he going to hit
right,
550
yeah.
every day? Like that's what I thought you were going with. You know, I think what's different for him has been a little bit process-based, you know, in how he's preparing, how he's limiting some of the noise surrounding the offensive side of the game. I mean, he has a game plan. He's simplified it. He's taken an athletic approach where his stance is a tick different. His swing is a tick different. It's nothing that's necessarily all that notable, but there's some rhythm and timing increase, which has been good. And so all you add all that up has been the real adjustment. It's not like it's a magic pill or it's something that he snaps his finger and all of a sudden you're going to see this drastic change. Like now he's standing 2 feet open or now he is, you know, I think everybody wants to say, aha, that's what it was. There is a maturation process. There is a little bit of process-based change. There is a little bit of a mechanical slight tweak and a confident hitter coming into the season. So I like how he came into the season and had some immediate success, because I think the microscope is on this guy, you know, 24/7. But, you know, it's sustainable to the extent that, you know, he's just got to stay in the fight whenever things, you know, get a little bit you know, less successful for him. And then he's going to have these peaks of success, which does not mean he has it all figured out. And he's found a good process that that I certainly believe in, he believes in, and the production speaks for itself. I mean, he's not going to be perfect. I hope we don't hold him to that bar, because it's a tough sport and it's a difficult skill. But it's hard to deny that he has been a significant breakthrough from spring training on as a potent bat in the middle of the order.
Everybody loves a great redemption story, and his start is exciting and encouraging for Tiger fans.
Yeah.
Not the only number one overall pick, though, that's got a little juice right now. Casey Mize, I think people are excited to see,
yeah.
Right? This is another year beyond Tommy John, and that splitter looks good. What kind of season do you project for Casey?
Yeah, Casey has really stepped up and grabbed this rotation spot. You know, what I've learned about Casey in the last 2 years has been that he's a fighter. Like, when you put him in the competition against other guys, he really did step up. Last year he won the job, and then he wasn't able to hold it. This season he came in knowing full well he wasn't on this team and he needed to pitch his way onto the team. He dominated and then he carried it into his first start. It looks like the the secondary pitches come with that type of finish, and the sliders are both good. The split has been nasty. He's got a lot of confidence in the zone, which allows him to pound the zone and then get some swing and miss out of the zone. So I think he's a process-based guy, and he needs to go start by start, but he's put together a very, very good foundation to have a very successful season. I mean, he has all the stuff. He has the mindset. He expects the world. I mean, even when I took him out, partway through the game, the other day, I had to make sure that he didn't, get too frustrated and just take negative out of that. And he's done a good job of just staying grounded and staying around the strike zone. So he does that, then we're gonna stack good starts together, and he's a formidable starting pitcher at this level. And I'm excited for him because it hasn't been easy for him, either through injury, or the opportunity that he didn't get to be on the playoff roster last year, and that he doesn't want to have that taste in his mouth again.
Dylan Dingler has been exciting at the plate. His numbers bear it out. How is his offensive production changing your rotation at catcher? What does that look like throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I go kind of the course of the series. I have a hard time when I look at this, like the macro view of the whole season. I have no idea how life's going to be in the next 6 months. But I can tell you that series by series, I went into the season expecting, a couple series are going to be Jake 2 out of 3, and a couple series are going to be Dingler 2 out of 3. And that's kind of how it's playing out. I mean, I like, Tarek and Jake working together. I like Dingler and Flaherty working together. And I'm going to mix and match the rest. And there may be a time where I flip Scooble and Flaherty with different catchers, just the way the schedule works. But we have two formidable catchers. They have different strengths, but they both have strengths. They have different things that we're guarded against, and we're going to work around those things. So I still see them as two viable guys that could catch the majority of games, but somebody's going to catch more than the other. But that has to play itself out more than I've labeled one of them one thing or another. They're both going to catch. And as you saw last year when Carson Kelly was here, it's good when you have options and you don't feel like you're taking a step back regardless of who you put behind the plate.
AJ, you got a busy day. We'll get you out of here on this. Torpedo bats, how do you feel about them?
I think it's funny how much love and attention they're getting. I see the science behind it, and it makes sense if you're going to hit the ball towards the label that the fatter the barrel is, the better. I don't think it's the perfect solution for everybody, but I think it's a copycat league, and there's going to be a lot of guys that are curious if that can solve some of the issues offensively that torment players in this level. But I see it as sort of an evolution of how to combat some of the different shapes of the pitches, or the different style of pitching nowadays, or the velocity, and where you're not making perfect contact on that little small barrel that we were all accustomed to. They're legal. They're not new. These have been around for a few years. They're just now mainstream part of the conversation. And it sort of makes me laugh because I think this stuff happens all the time. But I see when it's associated to being all of a sudden a homer bat, I have a little bit of skepticism that it's going to solve 30 teams' homer issues.
How long would it take if somebody wanted to switch to a torpedo bat? Is there an adjustment period, or is it, as long as it weighs the same, it swings the same?
So it won't be the same. So you could take the exact same bat and have it be 34-inch, 32-ounce, which is a sort of standard stock, size bat, and have it be the same. It's weighted different. Where the weight is, it's going to be a little bit handle heavy, not there's some guys that cup their bats. That makes it a little bit more barrel friendly. If you don't cup your bat, it makes it a little bit top heavy. So the feel of the bat is, you're bringing up a great point, because that's what players are going to have a hard time with when it comes to any bats. Now, I've watched players go through four different model bats. They're going to chase the bat until they get hits. They definitely will try anything. And so I think it has to feel right. That's a great point, because athletes need to feel like their equipment they're using is giving them the best chance. And that's why you'll see guys working into the BP and then make a determination whether or not it's a gamer. The gamer is pretty well protected, but players are unafraid to change if they think it can help them.
Hey, AJ, appreciate your time today. Have fun later today at the ballpark, all right?
You got it.
Happy opening
appreciate
day.
You guys. Yeah, we'll see you. We'll see. Bye.
It's AJ Hinch, Tiger Manager, 97.1.
Hey, a personal injury of any sorts is, in fact, personal. Injury attorney David Feminino has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need to put your life back together after an accident. You need an attorney who's going to make it personal, and that attorney is David Feminino. So if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Feminino at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got the opening day cookie jar coming up at 8:35. John, AJ Hinch giving us some time today on a busy day. What'd you take from him?
Riley Green's going to be in center today. And I love the fact that he said, you know, we're not afraid to play him in center.
Hearing that.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody's buzzing about the torpedo bats. And the fact that I do think it's not just as simple as, because, you know, when the Yankees had all those home runs, and then all of a sudden you hear, well, the Atlanta Braves made this huge order for torpedo bats. If there's anything I know, and it's, I don't know there's a direct relationship between football and baseball, but anytime we would have to play with a new helmet, like, it's not just as simple as putting one on and thinking that it's going to be the helmet that works or it's going to be comfortable, because all of them are different. They fit different. They feel different. They hit different. And for a – thanks, Tony. So to think that something that is as difficult as hitting a baseball, that you just swap in a new bat and all of a sudden, hey, you're not only hitting more home runs, but you're making more contact. The swing feels good. I think it's going to take some time for a lot of these guys to integrate that if they want to and if they feel it makes a difference into actually using it on game days.
I'm happy to hear it from AJ, because it's one thing when we talk about it, but the guys around it. It's not an instant fix if you're struggling at the plate. It's not like if this team has a stretch where they're not hitting, it's as easy as you just ship in a bunch of torpedo bats. It's got to be the right bat for the right hitter. You want to move the sweet spot down to the label a little more. Well, that hitter has to be someone who puts label on ball.
Yeah.
And they have to be able to handle that bat and make the adjustments. That was interesting to hear from AJ.
I actually thought he came off very indifferent about it, too.
Yeah.
Meaning it's not this cheat code or something that people are saying.
It's not.
Yeah, he didn't seem. He just seemed like, okay, if it works for the player, great, and that's it. But
that's kind of what.
And some of it's mental as well. Like if you try the new bat and you feel it's different, and like as long as it feels good to you, and even in your mind you think, okay, my odds are better with this bat. Going up there with that confidence makes a difference.
Ticket texter said AJ sounded very confident. I can hear it. Look for a sweep this weekend.
I think so. I mean, it's a White Sox. Yeah, it should make you feel confident.
Take advantage of it. He got a little defensive when I asked about Torres moving around. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers today. It's opening day. I was just curious with all the lineup stuff. Everybody
doing a good
else.
Job? Yeah.
I'm already off to a bad start.
I thought so too. As soon as I heard it, I'm like, I don't even know why that'd be a topic.
Well, I was like, AJ, we got to fill 4 hours a day. Yeah, I didn't say that, but
it's just a question.
And think about it. Everybody else on this team has got a little extra on their plate. Riley's going to play some center. Torque and Javi were repping in the outfield in spring training. Yeah. Cole Keats yo-yoed around. It was, hey, in a pinch, could Torres play anywhere else? And I would just tell you this. The big takeaway for me, he's their second baseman. AJ said it clear as day. He's playing nowhere but second. I suppose they could DH him, but he's not playing all over the diamond.
No. Yeah, so there's no option at third base.
Yeah.
So our third base is Vierling if he comes back.
Well, what's the latest on that? I was just reading that he's now taken some cuts, like he's actually hitting a little bit, so he could be back maybe a couple weeks. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, he should. 10-day IL is nothing. So I think the thing right now to watch in terms of changing this season is Colt Keith. And he might end up being the odd man out here once they get fully healthy. And I think, too, his contribution to play. I mean, he's doing well with walks, you know. Yeah. But if he's the one not hitting and it's keeping somebody better hitting out of the lineup. And it he's
so play it out. Let's play it out because Torres is. I mean, obliques, you never know, but we're optimistic he's not going to miss too much time. If Torres comes back, he's playing second. Let's say Vierling's back before the end of the month, conservatively, he's playing third. Cole Keith's your DH if Torque's hitting. And if Keith doesn't hit, you're not going to have a DH who doesn't hit. That's where you raise an eyebrow.
I've got Malloy. I've got
Carp occasionally at Carp. DH. Yeah.
I mean, Carp's the left-handed bat.
Although it sounds like he's just going to play a lot of outfield, which is exciting because then it does free up the DH spot.
Yeah.
There eventually is going to be a numbers game if Vierling and Meadows both play.
Good problem to have if they get a bunch of good baseball players and can't fit them all in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, if they are able to come in and hit the ground running, that's going to be the bigger question, is not having had that time at the end of spring training, not having that time right now at the start of the season, how effective will Parker Meadows be when he comes back, Matt Vierling when he comes in?
And keep winning. Stay afloat. Give him a chance.
Yeah.
Those guys don't have, that way they don't have to come back and have the miracle of last year.
Right.
Come back and be about 500 in this division and – then it's super doable.
Yeah, because 500 in this division might actually be leading the division.
Would be right now.
Yeah.
First place Tigers, right? 2-4.
Yes.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, we had record rainfall this week that left many in Metro Detroit waking up on Thursday to flooded streets, flooded homes, flooded businesses. I saw lots of videos on social media of people with a lot of water damage. 1 to 3 inches of rain fell throughout Metro Detroit. There was one newscaster that said the water was so deep on one east side Detroit street that it looked like a river, standing there in waders, rubber boots. He also described a Lincoln Park homeowner using a bucket to like just anything they could to get the water out of their basements. So at Metro Detroit Airport on Wednesday, there was 2.18 inches of rainfall, which broke the previous record set in 1945 of 1.44 inches. So, crazy, right?
Well, 'cause it was a lot at once.
Yeah, it happened quickly. In Flint, too, there was a new record of 1.75 inches. The previous record also back in 1945 of 1.62 inches.
Mm. Do you guys have any flooding issues?
No,
we just got over ours.
I said you've been dealing with all kinds of water issues.
Yeah, the sump pump was running pretty frequently.
We just had one installed, which is perfect timing.
Yeah,
perfect timing.
Perfect. You guys remember that Michigan couple that was in jail in Mexico?
Yeah.
They spent a lot of time behind bars in a Mexican prison while they're now back on U.S. soil. They had this dispute with a timeshare company, right? And this husband and wife, they were taken into custody basically when they landed in Cancun back on March 4th. They're accused or were accused of defrauding this hospitality company, but they were released and their criminal charges have been dismissed after they reached an agreement with this company. So obviously they're very, very thankful to be back home and they're thankful for all the help they got, specifically from one congressman that actually went to Mexico to say, hey, I'm not leaving here unless I have this couple with me. So they're glad to be home for sure. Several Detroit Lions players are changing their numbers in the 2025 NFL season. And some big time people, like you got these jerseys at home. 8 different players are changing their jersey numbers, including Jameson Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs. J-Mo switching from number 9 to number 1. Gibbs is switching from number 26 to number 0. There's a lot of other players as well that are making some changes.
You know the risk when you buy a jersey, it doesn't make it any less lousy when you wake up today and realize, oh, my jersey's out of date.
Yeah, but when you buy a jersey, you don't think there's risk involved.
Well, we went through it. Very rarely does a Detroit athlete, like a star, like a Gibbs, change their jersey. But I guess now it's vintage.
Yeah, it's one way to look at it,
I think you still wear it.
Yeah, of course you do.
You spent a ton of money on that, or somebody spent it on you.
As a gift,
I mean, you wear it. I mean, you see all sorts of people wearing all sorts of jerseys still, so go for it. Tom Cruise honored Val Kilmer at the CinemaCon yesterday in Las Vegas. I was curious what he would do, right? Because I hadn't seen a post from him or not, but he was there to present footage from his Mission Impossible movies. But before he started, he took time to pay tribute to Kilmer, and he said, I can't tell you how much I admire his work and him as a human being, how grateful and honored I was that he joined the Top Gun or joined Top Gun and then came back for Top Gun Maverick. So he took this moment of silence, and then afterward he said, thank you, Val. I wish you well on your next journey. Thank you for doing that. I know he appreciates it, so which is nice.
Yeah.
We went back and watched Tombstone the other night.
Did you? Yeah. Colin was watching Heat when I got home from work yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep. So you guys remember that Georgia dad that was just arrested for leaving his kids at a McDonald's for hours so he could go on this job interview, right? Got lots of attention. There was a GoFundMe started by, who was that?
Antonio Brown.
Yes, there you go, to raise money for him. Well,
CMU's finest.
Mm-hmm. Police now say that he wasn't actually at a job interview at all.
Oh.
So they did say he did apply for a job earlier in the day, but that's not what he was doing. So they interviewed the oldest child, which was 10 years old, and she said that they walked to the McDonald's from this apartment complex, and then she stated that her father left to deliver a backpack to the apartment complex. I don't have all the info, but they checked the time when he went to apply for this job, was never at an interview. She also told him, told police that they were frequently left alone by their father.
So he just ditched him.
So he wasn't really.
So, and the GoFundMe is,
oh, it's over $78,000.
Because the thought was, oh, here's a dad trying to make it work.
Right.
He's looking for work and a job.
Doesn't have the child care to watch his kids in order to go get this job.
Let's
he
help
needs.
This guy who wants to put in an honest day's work. Meanwhile, he
can you get a refund on GoFundMe?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There is, because there's people who have started GoFundMes for people who are, like, faking cancer treatments. So you can get your money sent back to you. I don't know, though, if you can go on and say, give me that money back, or if the person who set up the GoFundMe or GoFundMe in general has to give
you
money.
So it's Antonio Brown.
I don't know. I don't know how it works. But it might.
Yeah, I'll let you know right now. You're probably not getting that back.
Yeah.
Maybe GoFundMe will step in there and,
you would hope so,
and give some money back, yeah.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, the Cookie Jar opening day edition. It's 97.1.
Hey, you guys, it's Heather Park. And if you've ever thought about getting a hot tub, this is your moment. You guys, I couldn't be more excited to be getting mine from Beninati Pool and Spa. And let me tell you, the entire process, it was so easy. We went to the showroom. They told us everything about every hot tub. We got to sit in some of them. And they helped me pick out a perfect hot tub that's going to be great for me and my family. Plus, they're going to deliver it, they're going to install it, and they're going to take care of all the maintenance, too. They handle everything. It's just a total breeze. Beninati Pool and Spa is in Utica, right next to Jimmy John's Field. Plus, they have a brand new showroom in Clinton Township, right off M59 and I-94. So no matter which location you go to, you'll be met with Beninati experts who will give you a personalized experience to help you fit and find your right hot tub. And get this, if you mention my name, they'll take $500 off your purchase just like that. Visit BeninatiPools.com or stop by Utica or Clinton Township and see why so many people, including me, love the Beninati experience.
Of Gibby's career. It was just kind of cool that the Tigers were there as well. Yeah. But yeah, to have him do it today.
Some Tiger fans didn't like that. Like, he played for them. He had a big home run. He's every right to go out there. And
get over yourself.
I know.
I mean, that's dumb. I thought it was great. I thought it was great, too, that he looked so good.
Yeah.
Like, he, you know, jogs out there, throws out the first pitch. Like, he looked great.
Has John ever done the 9 by 9 by 9 at a baseball game? 9 dogs, 9 beers, 9 innings.
I've done the 9 dogs in 9 innings and probably then some, but no, not 9 beers. No.
The problem
it's not
is
my game.
The games are so much shorter now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had an extra half hour, 45 minutes, it's.
But when do they cut everybody off? What, 7th inning? So you'd have to get.
The beer's got
to
go.
Yeah, you'd have to. And
so
then
what's the strategy? Is it go beer heavy first? But then you get.
No.
It's not a great way to do this.
You'd have to have a couple of dogs in your belly.
Yeah.
And then go with the beers and then finish it off with the dogs.
Or just simultaneously. Like you have a couple bites of a dog. Couple drinks of your beer. Yeah. You got to do it like
all
together.
Years ago, we saw that guy with the that made the straw out of the the dog. Yeah, that was awkward.
It is.
If I could pick a change at the ballpark, I would choose for them to stop asking me for a tip after every purchase. It makes you feel awkward. They give you a dirty look. Rob on his way downtown, but speaking for everyone.
Yeah, it's cashless. Remember that.
Yeah. So just hit zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. And move on.
It is the awkwardness. It's like I get tip. We've done this topic. I get tipping someone at a restaurant that's serving you. But if I'm just walking up to a concession stand and you're handing me a hot dog in foil.
Yeah.
No tip.
My neck is getting tired. Trying to make this mic.
You're sitting like a teenager.
Yeah.
Like slouched, slouched over, hunched over.
teacher, stop talking to me.
Just got to turn your hat a little more.
No, flatten the brim out a little bit.
One other ticket text on all this stuff. It says, Cookies is a high schooler. Me and my family were at that Rajai Davis walk-off grand slam. We left in the eighth because baby brother was mad they were down three and they were going to lose. Oh. Signed, Tyler.
Baby brother for a reason.
Oh, you never let him forget it.
Send
either.
Him home in an Uber.
Yeah, you go home. We're going to watch the rest of the game.
As long as it's not, hey, I was eight at the time and he was six. Yeah.
My mom and dad said, hey, if you don't want to be here.
Here's the keys.
Baseball, you just never know. With the rallies.
And that's the thing. And even, you know, we're watching that Seattle game. And they get to the ninth inning, bases are loaded, and they bring up Javi Baez and Zach McKinstry, and you kind of felt like you knew at that point. But, no, you're never out of it. You know, and we've seen walk-off grand slams. We've seen a lot of different things. And mine was obviously the Miggy Snow Globe moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in baseball, you're never out of it. You know, relief pitcher comes in, and he doesn't have his best stuff that day. All of a sudden, the bats come on fire, and you score two or three runs, and you're either back in it or you're up in the ninth inning. That's when it gets the best. I would rather, honestly, and I know I gave you a hard time about missing the Parker Meadows home run. I would rather be here for the last, if you're only going to make six innings, be here for the last six versus the first six.
Yeah. It's one thing, hey, you're getting off work, and maybe you can't get down right on time. The game's starting earlier, especially early. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, that's the sweet spot.
Sure is. How do you feel about the team right now? We've done a lot of the festivities today. We got Dan Dickerson coming up here in a couple minutes. They got a losing record, but I don't think people's heads should be down right now.
No, a lot of hope. A lot of hope about this team. And, you know, at the beginning of any season, hope seems to spring eternal. Some of that was eroded away with Meadows, Vierling, now Gleyber Torres being hurt. But the way that some of the guys have come out and hit, and it's the six-game sample of Riley Green. And, you know, I know he was an all-star last year. That's the one thing that you think you can hang your hat on. That's the confidence that you have that Riley Green's still going to be that guy and will be for a number of years. But it's the way that Torque started the year. It's the way that Dylan Dingler, when he's been in there, he's been on fire at the plate. And so some of those different things. And then the hope continues where if – because this division is so bad, you're playing the Sox, you get one up above 500 when this series is done, you're at 5-4, and you get the Twins in the coming weeks, you can keep your head above water until those reinforcements arrive, like a Vierling or a Meadows, it sounds like.
Further down the line.
It's way further down the line, but Vierling, it sounds like he might be back.
Look, on opening day, people want to be hopeful. So, yeah, that's the hope that you would speak to, is this team's going to pitch. The one concern we have about offense, if Green and Torkelson, I think it was a couple years ago, Baseball America had them on the cover, Tiger Kings. If those two guys are healthy, producing, middle of the order, top of the order, you could stay afloat until you get your reinforcements.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the goal.
Yeah. We got Dan Dickerson joining us after the update. We'll talk more Tiger baseball. It's 97.1.